so good to be here with you this morning. If that's the first time you heard that song, we had the opportunity. Otis led that and taught that at our community singing this Friday night, and look forward to getting to hear that even more. Those words are so powerful, aren't they? Behold our God. We have been listening to this message of the reign of God in Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount for many weeks now, and we are continuing that today in Matthew chapter 6. As Jesus spends time reminding us about bringing our faith into focus, we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about this. It's a natural thing to get distracted from time to time. It happens sometimes. It could be that your favorite baseball team is winning the World Series. And so, you know, you knew I was going to work that in somewhere. There's so many different things that we have going on in life. It's easy to get very distracted, and your life can get out of focus. And when things get out of focus, it's hard to be able to recognize. It's hard to be able to discern. It's hard to be able to see the things that are in front of us for what they really are. Notice just a few examples here, some familiar pictures, some famous images that are when they're out of focus. All right, what do we have here? What do you guess? All right, you know your art history a little bit. What about this next one, a famous person? Einstein. Let's see. All right, he's got you, didn't he? Famous picture of Einstein. What about this famous hero? All right, let's see. Oh. Yeah. You can take that down. I don't know how that got up there. Things are not always what they sing. Even going to church. Even your faith life can get murky, can it? Can get out of focus. And we're very big on making sure that we push these routines. And these habits of faith are extremely important. But they can start to lose their what makes them beautiful. Worship is beautiful, but worship that becomes vain routine starts to lose that sharpness and that beauty. Prayer, as we're going to be looking at this morning, prayer is at the core of our faith life. But even our prayer life can become stale and void of our passion for God. It's just a natural thing. Those of us who've been Christians for a long time, or those of you who haven't been as long as some others, we all wrestle with this. This is why, you know, we're going through the Sermon on the Mount together, because Jesus is hitting on practical, real life, real Christian struggles. Real Christian challenges, things that everyone's going to face from time to time. And if you haven't gone through kind of a cold time in your faith, I'm not trying to throw water on your parade, but it's just going to happen. It's a part of those stages of growing and learning and stretching in your Christian walk. And it may be that you're in that season right now where here you are, life is going, there's so many different distractions, the end of the semester is coming, you feel the crunch of papers and grades. Those of you teachers feel the crunch of getting everything done, getting all your material in, getting all the grading done. Parents and families, we're already feeling the crunch. We look at our calendars and we look at our clocks. We did get an extra hour last night, which is great. But 1 hour, did it really change the kind of stress that you're feeling about, well, we got Thanksgiving coming up and we've got Christmas coming up and the end of the year is going to happen and we had all these things planned to get done. And we got to go to church and we got to read our Bibles and we've got this whole list of all these things. And you and I wouldn't be able to see any different, at least, you know, our surface sight, when we see each other here. For one thing, you're at church right now, so right, at least you got that going. But we're not able to see in this moment. Where are you at with God? And that all of us from time to time, again and again, need our faith to be refocused and readjusted. You know that we are probably living in the most distracted age in human history. Do you think that? I mean, we've got our cell phones, we've got information that is the news. News is old after like 5 minutes, isn't it? I mean, because it's just a nonstop flow of information and messages and noise, and it's just oppressive sometimes how much is coming through and bombarding our lives. Did you know that more people die every year from taking selfies than from shark attacks? We are getting distracted so much that it's impossible, it's seemingly impossible to just focus and pay attention to what matters. That's why the words of Jesus here are like a sweet, refreshing fragrance for our hearts and our lives. Look at this text with me as we read it earlier, and listen to it again as Jesus speaks from Matthew chapter 6. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not go on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven." Can we say these words together? "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." You know, your prayer life is so important. But Jesus knows that even that can become worn out and calloused and old at times. The word that he uses here, and he repeats it several times, he mentions it there in verse 5, and then he mentions it again in verse 7, but he's repeating this phrase of the hypocrites. And we didn't read this full text here, but 1 through 18, you'll hear Jesus repeat this four times. He says, don't be like the hypocrites when you give to the poor. They want to be seen, right? Don't be like the hypocrites whenever you pray. They think that by their many words that they're going to be heard. Don't be like the hypocrites whenever you fast. You know, they'll dress themselves up. All this idea is that the focus and the attention is in the wrong place, rather than their focus being on God whenever they're doing these spiritual practices of faith. Instead, they're like a stage performer, and that's actually what the word hypocrite means. I know we hear it one way. We hear it, someone who says one thing and does another, and that certainly is an aspect of it. But the word that Jesus is actually using here means an actor. It's a stage performer. Don't be like the stage performer who goes and he's putting on a show and he's trying to please the crowd. And he's gauging himself by, did they like my performance? Did they like the way that I looked? Did they like the way that I sounded? And so that's so much of how we do life, isn't it? I want to be able to impress those who are around me. And it's human. It's human for us that when we're in a gathering, to be thinking about what are they thinking right now? If you want to know about those who struggle with ego or those who struggle with wanting to be liked by others, talk to any preacher, okay? Because that's a real thing. Did they like how it was? Did I sound good? And that's just a real thing that we have going on in our lives. And Jesus being aware of this temptation, even holy things, it's a holy thing to share the Word of God, isn't it? It's a holy thing to give to the poor. It's a holy thing to pray to God and to fast and to practice these spiritual disciplines. But there's a temptation lurking behind righteousness, and it's this. How are others seeing me when I do this? So that even our Christian life becomes this show. And we want to appear in a way that is pleasing to those around us. And Jesus pulls us in here in a beautiful way. And with each of these temptations, whether it's when we're giving or praying or fasting, and these are just kind of a model. You can stretch beyond that. Going to church. He pulls us inside and he says, here's the cure. Go into your room. I'm talking about prayer, right? When you pray, go into your room. Close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Another way you might say to turn off the noise, right? We live such busy lives. Your faith life will be the number one thing that suffers if you're constantly trying to chase everything else. Because no one will know if you missed that time with God today, except for you. But Jesus says, this is a secret and a hidden practice, and the wonderful thing is, wherever and whenever God is there, He will show up. He keeps His dates. He keeps His promises. He's there. He cares. He listens. And He will deliver. We're not trying to perform for an audience or a crowd. We have the audience of one who is always present and always there. Our Father is a present Father. Our Father is not an absentee dad. Our Father is not a judge. You know, when we kind of hear that language, He sees, He knows before you ask. It almost sounds like we're starting to sing a Christmas song. He sees you when... That's not where Jesus is going. He's going just the other way to say, rather than feeling inferior or rather than feeling like you're unworthy, it's just the opposite kind of dad or father that He's describing. Compassionate Father that is showing up. It's like that compassionate father in Luke 15 in the prodigal son story who is constantly looking, almost like God is waiting. He's sitting there and waiting for you to come and be with Him. That He is ready to receive you with open arms. Our prayer life a lot of times is too much like a middle school dance. You remember going to a middle school dance when you were younger? Girls on one side, boys on the other, and rarely does it get any closer than that, right? We have this fear that if we try to approach even God in prayer, that He won't want us, that He might not welcome us. He knows the mistakes that you've made. He knows your weaknesses and limitations, and you've already decided sometimes, even before you start to talk to Him or spend time with Him, that He just doesn't want to be with you. And so we don't pray. And none of us are the wiser about it, because we'll come here and we'll pray together. Well, inside you feel like God doesn't want you to even be here today. Is that how God is? Is that the way that you hear Jesus describing our Father here? Or is He compassionate and filled with mercy and ready to embrace us and ready to love us and ready to hear us? We have this great text in Luke chapter 10 of two sisters, a family who are hosting Jesus at their house. And in Luke chapter 10, go ahead and go to that text. You know the story, and you know what it's like whenever you're getting a meal, you're trying to host someone at your home, and the stress of that at times. They want to make a good impression. Martha's very concerned with that here. But look at the scene as it's described here by Luke. Martha had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what He was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so that she came to Him and asked, "Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." I know we pick on Martha. Some of you read this text and your head starts to hang and you go, "Oh my goodness, how does He know?" Well, can I just bring you in on something? Americans are doers. That's kind of our thing. We find sitting to be unproductive. And all of us struggle with this one thing that Jesus honors Mary for here. And He's so gentle. He doesn't rebuke Martha. He tries to relieve her of her stress and worries and distractions. And peacefully He says to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." You know, it's hard for us to actually be present with people because our minds drift towards the tasks that have to be done, or towards others who are sending us messages. They're calling us, they're texting us, they're emailing us, they're giving up different updates, and we feel the need and the pressure to constantly be trying to communicate and achieve whatever it is that we think is productive for a good American to do. And it's very hard for us to actually stop and just be with someone, especially with our God who is invisible. But that's exactly what Jesus moves us to do. If you really want to be able to refocus and readjust your faith whenever it feels like you're starting to drift away in your heart and you're starting to wander from that first love that you have with God, it's not what you're doing, it's your need to be with the Lord. Or it may be that what you're needing to do is just to stop and sit at the Lord's feet and listen. You know, I know you have relationships like this, but there's some people in your life, the ones who have been there at significant moments in your life. Maybe it's significant joys. Maybe they were there whenever your child was born. Maybe they were there at your wedding or whenever you proposed to your spouse, you know, those special moments, or even before that, whenever you talked to your friend about, I think I'm going to marry, or I think I'm in love. Or maybe those moments where you do something embarrassing, but they're there to be a witness to it, and not just to hold it as blackmail over your life, but it's just a shared thing that you have. You have this unspoken ability to be able to laugh together about things that others around you have no idea about. You have these people in your life, and it's not necessarily anything that you did with them. It was just about being with them. And that's what Jesus is inviting us to do. And it begins with prayer. So that these spiritual practices of our faith aren't about those things that we're doing as much as the one that we're with, namely God. That they're about keeping company with God. And just being there. Because there's something that happens in our attentive sharing of one another's lives that impacts us and changes us deeply, so that we long to be in one another's presence. Did you know that God longs to be with you? I know this is something that we do struggle and grapple with. Does God really long to be with me? This is what Jesus is bringing when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven coming down to earth and breaking into our lives, and that God wants not surface faith, but He wants to reign and know you in your deepest parts. He wants to be with you and share and engage with you in your heart. So that He sent Jesus even to die to accomplish this. Because He wants you so much. You can hear this mission in the prayer of Jesus that we said just a moment ago. Did you notice that Jesus' prayer here in Matthew 9 through 13 is at the very center, it's where it's located in the Sermon on the Mount? It's at the center. And it's not uncommon in Jewish literature and Jewish teaching for the point of the story. And a lot of times, you know, we loan that most important point to the end of a lot of the messages or stories that we tell. It was very common in Jewish tradition to put that actually at the center of a writing or of a message. And that's right where Jesus locates this prayer. And then when we begin to unpack what Jesus says here, what we see is not just the words that we pray, even though those are readily available here, but what we see is Jesus' mission revealed, and the mission of God revealed within these words, that our Father is coming and abiding. So that the God who is with us is also the God who cares and He loves us. The God who is with us is the God who forgives us and moves us to practice that same kind of relationship towards other people. The God who is with us is the God who is able to deliver us from the evil one and from the temptation to move away from Him. He can bring you back. He's the God who's able to do this. He's the God who reigns and who lives and who loves and who gives. And all life and all goodness is found with Him. And that's why Jesus says, pray like this. Because when you pray like this, it'll start to transform so that you live like this. This is like the summary of Jesus' sermon. This is like the summary of Jesus' life. If you want to know what He's about, listen to how He prays. If you want to know how He wants His church, His followers to be about, listen to the prayer that He gives them and calls them to. I know the struggle that you feel. Is anything really happening when I pray? Am I just buying time? Am I just trying to check it off the list? Going back to the things in our life, you've got so many other things to do. Do you really have time? Do you even have time to be here today? Are we getting the gain that we're hoping for? I tried and God just didn't. Nothing happened. But instead, Jesus invites us to experience God through living with Him and knowing Him as He reveals Himself in His Son and in His prayer and in His mission. So that as we enter into this relationship, in this life, in this walk, in this prayer with God, something is happening beyond the actions themselves, beyond the deeds themselves, where God is affecting my heart, in my mind, in my life, from the inside. And all the doing that I may do for the Lord starts with my being with Him and knowing Him and knowing that He's accepted me and that I love Him and I receive Him, and I start that over again every single day. And this becomes our life's prayer and our life's purpose. I want to encourage you this week and in weeks following, and if you're already doing this, that's wonderful, and I want to affirm what you're doing, that you're not wasting your time when you gather your family together to pray, or when you gather with other Christians to pray. That's probably the most significant thing that will happen for you that day, that in those moments of just giving that over to God. Parents, fathers, when you teach your children to pray to our Father in heaven, you are teaching them to let God lead their life. Husbands and wives, when you pray together to the Lord, you are devoting your marriage to the Lord. Children, whenever you pray to God in heaven together, you are claiming and receiving that His love is for you. We sing the song, Jesus Loves Me. We pray this prayer knowing that it's true, affirming that in our lives, that God has not abandoned us no matter what mistakes we've made or sins we've done. God has sent Jesus to recover and deliver us from all evils in our lives. And the kingdom of God will reign forever. Where is your life at today? Maybe your life is needing a refocus, a recenter. Maybe it needs to begin with prayer today. If you have needs in your life today, we have people here today, we have leaders of this church that want to pray with you. I hope that you have prayer partners in your life that you can go to and say, I need us to spend time. I want to dedicate time each week that we can just pray for one another. It's one of the one-anothers that the church has, to pray for one another. And Jesus has given us a model of that here. If you're not a Christian today, I want you to know that the purpose of your life is incomplete until you know your Father in heaven who loves you, who will never leave you or forsake you, who's come to rescue you, to give you new life, to give you hope, to give you a home with Him forever and ever. You can become a Christian today by putting your faith in Him having your sins washed away, being united with Him in baptism, being a part of the family of God. You can share that today. Whatever your needs are, we invite you, we welcome you right now as we stand and sing.